Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to raise our voice and praise you, Father. And we're thankful for that. And for the rest of time, we're going to listen to your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me to share the message from your scripture and from the scripture only. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with all the folks in this room and hear your voice and apply the instruction to their life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Fellowship with gladness and simplicity of heart. A couple of weeks ago, I just happened to be resting in the hospital. And in the hospital, you know, they gave me some IV, and when I watched the IV dripping into my vein, and I'm thinking about, wait a minute, you know, my physical body gets refreshed by whatever the liquid they put in my body. How about my soul? So I need to have some liquid or refresh into the soul. So starting next week, I begin the series of IV for the soul. But before to prepare for the IV for the soul, for the last few weeks, we go through the prayer and we go through the worship. And today, I want to stress or communicate with you the message about the fellowship. Fellowship, you know, sometimes we make a mistake. We're thinking about maybe it's a social event. It's on the surface. But God's views of fellowship is something that is far richer than just a social gathering on the surface. John MacArthur, one of the great preachers, but he also wrote a lot of commentaries about the Bible. He defined fellowship as a spiritual duty of believers to stimulate each other to holiness and faithfulness. So the engagement of fellowship is intentional and focused interaction with other believers for the purpose of edification and equipping. Such engagement is made possible by empowering, it means the connection each believer through the Holy Spirit and because of Christ. So when we understand the Bible teaches about the fellowship among the believer is very, very critical for our health as faithful disciples of Christ. So what is the secret or iconic, the infrastructure needed for the successful fellowship? What is supposed to be? So if we want to grow the church or the English-speaking church, we need to understand, of course, about the prayer, about the worship, but we need to understand about the faithful fellowship, fellowship with gladness and simplicity of the heart. If we go back to the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, so continually, daily with one according to in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to church daily those who were being saved. We need to go back, you know, a few verses before chapter 2, verse 46. You would see the event, the great event in the history of the church has happened. It happened on the Pentecost day. In the Pentecost, people, the Israelite people from all over the world gathering in Jerusalem. And the group of disciples, Peter, Paul, you know, the 12 disciples, actually it's only 11 left. And of course, they elect Matthias as the number 12. And the Holy Spirit, when they just gathered together, roughly about 60 people and the apostle, the Holy Spirit descended on them. And Peter very much stand up and preach. Very, very short message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that date, over 3,000 people come to Christ. If you read in the couple of verses before that, you would see, with many other words, when the people heard this, they were cut from the heart and said to Peter and all the apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for on whom the Lord our God will come." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accept his message was baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So it's mean roughly about 3,000 people come to Christ on the day of Pentecost. So how can it happen? You see, the disciple of Christ, a few days before that, they gather together, they pray, they worship God, and the Holy Spirit descending to them. And when they talk, people come to Christ. And here, suddenly, 3,000 people become the church. Remember, at that time, they don't have mega church. So how things can happen? So they gather together in the home. And instead of going to the church once a week, they very much worship God, come to the temple every day. And of course, if you visit Jerusalem or Israel, you see the temple is not that big. Okay, it's only gathered maybe maximum 100 or so, and probably spill out the street. So in order to handle 3,000 people, probably every day they have the worship service, and they cannot gather together, have Sunday school or the Bible study. So they gather in the home, they study God's word, and they break bread, they eat together. But the key word here is with gladness and simplicity of the heart to understand that. So what exactly I try to communicate with you, how can we structure or the infrastructure of the church have to be in order to have a fellowship with gladness and simplicity of the heart? Number one, discipline fellowship support through the scripture. They will continually devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking the bread and prayer. So you would find out through the earnest study and application of apostle teaching, the believer established solid foundation upon which they build a new life as a follower of Christ. So I'm very, very happy because the activity has to have gathering together and study the word. I'm glad once a week we gather together and we come to Sunday school. We gather together, we study God's word. We very much dive deeper in the word. And hopefully it sticks to our mind and we can apply to their life. I'm very, very glad every Tuesday, is that right? Tuesday, a group of you young professional, young adult, gather together and you went to the porch. Before that, you had a meal together, okay? Because most of you didn't have or doesn't have your own house yet. At least you gather together, I don't know, in a restaurant somewhere. You break a bread, you pray, you break bread, you eat, and you talk. And 10 to 12 of you go to the porch to study the Bible, and hopefully you can apply to their life. I'm glad about that. But some of you gather on Zoom system, audio or video system, on Wednesday, right? From 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10, you gather together. You're not quite a break of bread yet, but at least you gather together, you study God's word. Hopefully, you can apply for your life. Okay, pray together and study together. So on of the type of fellowship as a body of Christ, you would find out three things it have to happen in order to have the true fellowship. Number one, fellowship body of Christ, there is a physical fellowship. We gather together over here, we have public worship. And you also gather together, you talk, you share, you pray together. And I call it physical fellowship. It has to happen. Our church, okay, our church, yeah, we have public fellowship, and today we have communion service. That would be the spiritual fellowship. But we try, because a lot of folks in our church, they sometimes the family, they don't even have a meal together. So at least every Sunday we have lunch together. So have a chance for the family, or we can gather together in group, whatever. We have a meal together. That's the meaning of physical the fellowship. But it's also fellowship, it's also support emotionally, okay? To build a friendship. So I'm glad you had a meal together, you build the friendship. Once a while, the Sunday school have a Sunday school study over the noodle place. The whole purpose, you eat, you study together, you build a fellowship, okay? But a social gathering, you eat something, it has to happen, okay, once a while. But it's also, the fellowship has to support spiritual, I call it spiritual fellowship. Like today, we observe the communion service. It's reminding us how Christ died on the cross because of our sin. And we believe in him, we have everlasting life. It supports the spiritual. As a human being, you would find out, you know, if you go about 3 or 4 months, you forgot. So the whole church purpose, like communion service, is it helps to remind us, okay, about our Jesus Christ. The old day in the book of Acts, they have fellowship, a communion service, every day. Okay? But here we try to establish at least once a month. Why we establish communion service once a month? If you have a chance to study in the book of Nehemiah, you will find out it's Nehemiah when he rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. And you will find out just about average every month. Actually, the Bible talking about 26 or 27 days. He gathered all the people together and refreshed the people, the purpose of why they built the wall, to protect Jerusalem, to remind the purpose. So that's the reason why our church, we pick once a month. And to make things easy, the first Sunday of the month, that hopefully when we have communion service, it's very much reminding us the purpose of our life, the purpose why Christ died on the cross, because of our sin. And as the Christian, we remember him. It's helped to refresh our memory. And the same thing, prayer. I know our church, we have roughly, during the week, we have 4 prayer groups. Okay? On Tuesday, is 2. On Wednesday, is 1. And Thursday, 1. But also once a month, we have the first Saturday of the month, we have gathering together just to pray. Okay? So if you have anything you need to be prayed, you can email, turn it in, leave a message. And then if the woman, it will be the Tuesday and Thursday, the woman group, they have prayer group together. And if you young adult, like Wednesday, there is a group pray for the young adult every Wednesday. If for the man, every Tuesday, okay, the man will pray for the man. And of course, we pray for the family. But at least once a month, gather in this place, the church gather together, we just pray for the purpose of the church, why the Lord put this church at this location. So secondly, fellowship humble through holiness. Oh, the verse is really nice. Really wonderful. Everyone kept feeling the sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through apostle. So when I read verse 43, I can sense the fear felt by the believers was one of the holy reverence toward God and necessary for the right walk with him. And when you study the Bible, there's so many verses in the Bible. They're talking about the fear of God. Okay, I just pick a few. It's just like, if you want the wisdom, you study the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28. It's talking about, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. So if you want to have the wisdom, start with fear the Lord. Okay, very, very simple. And in Psalm, it's talking about, if you want a clear conscience, they said, want a clear conscience, it's like, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Because sometimes we walk in this world, we work in this world, a lot of bad influence may impact us. But because, like Psalm chapter 19, verse 9, because of the fear of the Lord, it keeps our path straight so we can be clean. We can, you know, because of fear of Him, so it's helper to protect our mind, our body, and also our spirit. If you want to have good knowledge, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge. Okay? Beginning of the knowledge. By fear of Him, you can learn a thousand things, but the beginning of knowledge by fearing the Lord. And a lot of verse like that. Okay, the book of Acts in the New Testament talking, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort the Holy Spirit, they will multiply. So if you want the English ministry or English speaking church grow, start with fear the Lord. So when we praise up here because of the fear of the Lord and the gladness of the heart, we praise and worship. And the same thing, because of the fear of the Lord, so when you fellowship with your fellow believer, you respect them. Okay? You humble through the holiness in order to help or to treat each other. But a lot of Christians around the world, they, you know, the government very much control the religion. So a lot of believers was persecuted or are persecuted. And the verse, like in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, help and comfort them. It says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's the verse to comfort the believer who living in the persecuted country. So thirdly, fellowship provides through peers. The Bible said, and on those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possession and were sharing them with all as anyone may have need. Remember, back then, there is no social service. We live in a country that had a social service program, so sometimes we didn't think about help each other out. But way back in the time of New Testament and still happen in a lot of countries, there is no social service. So what exactly the believers supposed to do? Because if they're hungry, they lost job, they don't have work, and the time when there is no social service, the believers gather together and help each other out. So the believers assume responsibility for taking care of the need of fellow believer at that time. And we live in America, there is a lot of social service program, like welfare, food stamp, okay? But it's still responsibility of believer to take care of the need of fellow believer. So we watch out for each other, okay? But remember, they did not at any point sell everything, because there is one version of the Bible said they sell everything. Yes, at that time there is one or two, like Barnabas, he sold all his property and then gives to the church to help others out. But again, the Bible didn't say had to sell everything. But the principle of the Christian living is we responsible for our fellow believer. So we depend on the Holy Spirit. Okay? If the Holy Spirit reminded us, we help, and then we help with our ability and whatever we can help. Okay? Because a lot of church, a lot of people, they use their own version and say, sell everything. And if suddenly you sell everything and then you apply for welfare food stamp, and that's wrong. Okay? You live in the poor house and you go around and you beg other people charity, give food for you. That's wrong. Okay? We responsible for our fellow believer when it's in need. And whatever the Holy Spirit calls us to help, and then we help with ability we have. And if you like math, because I love math, Pythagore, he also the mathematician, but he also a philosopher. And he said, between friends, honor is common. So basically, if your fellow believer is your friend, so you help your friend, is something is normal to help out. So we go back to the question, what exactly can you help if you don't have the money? And then you can help by sharing your experience. Because each one of us, we have some experience. And if your fellow believer run into similar situation, because the fellowship provides through peer, you can share your experience. Once upon a time, I go through just like you go through right now, and how I overcome it. Okay? Or you can help by dinner at your home. If you have the house, once in a while, have dinner at your home. Maybe just, I don't know, boiling egg and rice, that's fine. But at least has something. Hey, you eat among the friend, very easy. We not judge on how good cook you are and how good the food. It's just the fellowship when eating together. Okay? Or through small group, if you have a small group. So that's reason why I'm very, very glad. You know, the Tuesday group of people have the dinner together before we go to the porch, small group. And pray and support. Pray and support. Because prayer is so important. There's a situation, and if you close friend enough, they share you the situation. You couldn't help, you pray for them. Okay? But remember, the Bible talking about carry each other burden to pray, but not gather together to share or gossip. There's a difference. Okay? Because your friend close enough to share some burden, you carry the burden, but you couldn't help, you pray for them. And pray the Lord to help lift that burden off them. But if you have similar experience, share how you overcome the same situation in your case and pray for them. And that's what at least you can do. Fourthly, fellowship joined through joyfulness. Day by day, continue with one mind in the temple and breaking bread. Keyword, one mind. So we gather together with one mind in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number days by days, those who were being saved. So what exactly the Bible talking about here? They're talking about as they celebrated who God was and what he had done. And because of that reason, they overflow and with rejoicing in their state of being. It means at the time when they gather together, they have choice. So when we gather together to fellowship and to worship, do we know who God was? Do we know who God is? And do we know what God has done for us? So who is God? And we know the Bible talking about when you study the Word, you can deep dive deeper in the Word. But God is, we talk about, He's the Lord of all Lord. He's the King of all King. He's the big word they're talking about. Omniscient, all of that. It means He power over of all the power. He present everywhere. Okay? And He knows everything. And God, Almighty God, okay, come to this earth, become man, and we call Christ or Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, He's 100% God, He's 100% man. So He come down to this earth to do what? Besides, we know all the creation around this earth or around the universe. But Jesus Christ is God, coming down, become man, coming down to earth, die on the cross because of sin. And He said, whoever believes in Him have everlasting life. So because we know who God is, we know what He has done to us. So that reason why we have the choice, because when we believe in Him, we have everlasting life. And we have that choice in our heart. When we gather together to worship, or we gather together to fellowship, with joyfulness, with the gladness of the heart. So when the believer, they live out their life with rejoicing, they make a positive impact on those who come to contact. And that reason why they praise God, favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who being saved that time. So how do we supposed to grow this English ministry or the English church here? We start from the basics, rejoicing. And because you get together, you fellowship with God's sincerity of the heart, you're praising God, and you have a favor upon the people, at least among these people in this room and the church here. And because of that, people, the Lord would bless and add the people into the church. So the lifestyle resulted in all the people come to know Christ as Savior. When you drive the car on Derry Ashford, two new things that happened on Derry Ashford, start from West Hammer to I-10. Or let's just say from West Hammer to, Briar Forest. There's two new things that happen when you pay attention around the church. Or even in your neighborhood, do you notice any different? Yes, number one, David quickly, they built a whole community subdivision next door. I think the price started from $290,000, three-story house. We have 1 year to prepare for that community. So probably like 100 something or 50 to 100 units over there. So just think about it. Okay, if we have good worship service, we pray, we gather together with gladness from the heart, and the word will spread to that division, subdivision, and people all they have to do is just walk over here. But will the English service is ready? What happened? Okay, we go on the, on my side would be on the left. On the right, something has happened. Oh, you didn't. I do pray walking in there, and I do pray walking over there too. There is the whole brand new apartment. They call it Ashford Lake. Beautiful. Like over 100 units, whatever. Right now, no people. But I think by next month, or at the end of this year, they would complete. Beautiful. I'm walking in there, I pray. So, they only like 2 or 3 minutes driving, or it can be, if they exercise, they can walk from there over here. Okay? How many of you know Gloria Subdivision or the place she lives? So maybe you need to visit her and have some fellowship there. walk around and bring a neighbor over here. You see what I'm saying? So that reason why, day by day, we couldn't do it, and then at least we week by week, we gather together in the temple of God, it's been here, with one mind. And if you couldn't break bread every day, at least break the bread once a week at the church here. Together, one mind, meal together with gladness and sincerity of the heart. And when we have a chance to gather together, we praise in God, having favor with all the people. Not quite sure all the people, it's been all the people of the church, but I hope favor with all the people of the church, and also the one who we interface with. And the Lord was adding their number day by day, those who were being saved. So when we live in praising God, we attract the people. Few things I want you to do, because we have roughly about from 6 months to a year to prepare for this subdivision, for that subdivision out there, and probably for Glory neighborhood, or your neighborhood. Okay, 5 things. Number one, sanctification. So we most of you, or all of you, already pray except Christ. We need to go to the sanctification process. It means you study the Word and apply the principle of the Word to your life. Number two, fellowship together, socialize, meal together, support each other out. Fellowship with God through worship. Remember, go back to the Bible and say, one mind. Pray together. Commune service together, like today we do. And service with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to communicate to you from the God of Word, whatever the gift of the Holy Spirit give to you, you have at least one. Using it to service other people with humbleness, with holiness. So if God, like I'm glad, God gave only the gift of playing drum, he served with the humbleness, with holiness, when he prays in God. Some of you, God gave the gift of singing. Okay. Use the gift of singing to praise in God with humble and holiness. Some of you like sport, organize sport event. If that's the gift, organization give with humbleness and holiness. Okay? Some of you do like to do commune service. Gather together, organize the community service together with humbleness and holiness. Some of you like dancing to praise the Lord. Organize a dancing team. Every Wednesday night there is a dancing group practice with humbleness and holiness to praise the Lord. Okay? That's what I meant, services with the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a gift, you just follow along, okay? But you have to clear on your calling with that gift. And lastly, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, you know, but in order to do that, you have to know who God is and what did he do or what he has done to you. And just share that. Okay? So fellowship with God's simplicity of the heart, I try to communicate to you, the Bible teaches doing that. And fellowship with humble and holiness, provide through peer, is mean help support each other out, and have the joyfulness in there, gladness and simplicity of the heart. So let us stand up together and read this verse. So continue daily with one according to in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of the heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How do we read this apply for our life here? They said daily, we do that. We gather in temple what? Once a week, right? So you have to read. So continuing weekly, right? We only do Sunday. But if you want daily, the church will have daily for you. But let's start with the basics, because we do weekly. So at least apply to our life. So continuing weekly, week one according to the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, from restaurant to restaurant, that's fine too. Or from church, once a week. Yeah. We ate the food with gladness and simplicity of the heart. So if it happened like Sunday fellowship lunch, if the food not that good, it's still with gladness and simplicity of the heart. Okay, because somebody did the cooking. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord will add it to this church daily, weekly, those who will be in safe. Can we read that, apply for our own life here? Okay, this is for the Jerusalem First Church, but we're talking about the West Houston Church here. Let's read together, just like I'm trying to communicate to you. So, okay, yeah. So eat the food from house to house or at the church. And when we ate the food, we eat the food with gladness and simplicity of the heart. So if you gather together house, if the owner of the house or the boss of the house cook the food, it's not that good compared to the restaurant, you still eat it with gladness and simplicity of the heart. Okay, because of work they put in. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word reminding us or teaching us the principle of fellowship with this humble heart, gladness of the heart, sincerity of the heart, and with gladness. So I pray the Holy Spirit, we use the word to help the people in this room, including me, to apply this principle for their life. And through that, you would bless the church and you would add people into the English worship here weekly or daily from those who were being saved. After this worship service, we're going to have communion service with the Vietnamese worship and Sunday school. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be on us. So when we gather together, we gather with gladness also. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with your children in this room from now and forever. Amen.